Hopefully I'm trying to make it, yeah. So I do the earlier version, the newer version has some kind of problem. Okay.
Are you
okay.
Ready?
I'm ready, okay, yeah.
Okay. After extremely dramatic build-up, Mandolin Choi is ready to tell us about joint spectral circuits.
Yeah, it's wonderful to meet many old fans and new fans in this conference. Yeah, I regret having been away often because of the two PhD exams this week, also another conference at Waterloo. Because, now, we talk about joint spectral circles. So let me start with something more basic or some more related thing. It's some kind of soft computation. Given affine inequalities, A between I and zero, B between I and zero, we ask what can we say about the best bound of A plus I B? The answer is that A plus I B always smaller than square root 2, just as in the case of commutating cell. So even if they are non-commutating, you don't get anything worse than commutating case. So in fact, when will A plus I B equal square root 2? Usually never, unless you get commutating thing. Okay, if non-commutating, it makes smaller. So it's not bad to compute A plus IB. If A, B are non-commutating, it won't make it bigger. Except if the, okay, here I care about matrix, so it comes to direct summon. Operator just take approximation. So as a matrix, you can never get the norm of square root 2. Except if they are commutating. Okay, that's so that non-commutating computing is not harder. Okay, for this case, just come out so good as in the commutative case. So let's see another kind of affine inequality. I use affine inequality. A between I and minus I, B between B and I and minus I. So those two Hermitian operator, non-small equal than 1. What can we say about bound of A plus IB? The case one that if AB equals BA, then the answer is not more than square root 2 by diagonalization. What are the other possible case? If the AB are anti-commuting, then you get 2. Okay, so this will come to anti-commuting make the, I want the AB getting the norm. Okay, yeah. So that one easy fact that when the A plus AB equal to sum of A plus B, if both AB, that happens if only if they have direct summon anti-commuting. Otherwise, you can never get 2. So this kind of thing, we come to the perfect answer for those kind of inequality. Now for more general, we care about more useful computation. It should be more general set up. So is that given two affine inequalities, I know the Hermitian A is bounded by A1, A2. Hermitian operator B is bounded by B1, B2. Find the optimal bound C, such A plus IB equal to C. So this means find the optimal C for the quadratic inequality. Original is affine inequality in the first order. Now I want quadratic inequality. Now this kind of thing will always answer, but sometimes it's uninteresting. Could be very boring, okay? Given any set like that, you can always find something, existing some answer. So whether the C is meaningful, or we can find more geometry related to that or not. So let's see more about the geometry, about this kind of question. But it's very important for people to do the computation for the operator norm, on the Hilbert space operator norm. So we come to numerical range. For n by n matrix T, the numerical range are the vector x star tx with the norm of x be 1. So this is a convex complex set for matrix for in the complex way. So problem, how is the norm related to numerical radius or related to numerical range of T? Standard result is that T, the norm of T always more than 2 times the maximum of the numerical, the value in the numerical range. But with equality, only happen when T is the circular disk center at zero. Otherwise, you never get equality for matrix. You always get inequality. So in our case, our concern is that Numerical VT is a subset of a rectangle, given precisely a rectangle. There are any chance to compute out what's the bound of T. So that's the result we got several years ago with Chi Guan Li's there. We write T as A plus IB, subject to the bound. Without law generality, I assume AT is bigger than the absolute value of A1. B2 is larger than absolute value of B1. Otherwise, you just turn around. So with that feature, then we can find the best bound of it. Then the sharp bound of T, depending on A1, A2, B1, B2. If an A1, B2 plus A2, B1 is positive, we got the bound, it's A2 plus IB2. It's a very simple bound. Otherwise, you got another bound. Look a little complicated, but we try to explain the geometrical meaning of it. Related to a rectangle. It's another bound for the other case. If A1, B2 plus A2, B1 is smaller or equal than zero. If they're zero, they have the same value. So this to give the complete answer for the bound of the best estimate for the norm. Their best is the way that you can get equality for any case. Once the rectangle is fixed here, you can always find the operator with the norm as upper bound. So just those kinds are useful for computing, but may not show you the geometrical meaning. So let's see more about the geometry of rectangle. So what's the location of rectangle? You put rectangle here, it's bounded by A1, A2, B1, B2. Of course, A1, A2 could be positive, could be negative. B1, B2, anyway, we can in general draw a picture here. So the center is a point there. Without loss of generality, I show the center in the first quadrant. Otherwise, you can turn around. So suppose the rectangle is given with the center in the first quadrant. Now we come to any operator numerical range in the rectangle will compute out by easy value. So how easy value related to that, to the rectangle? We ask how far the four vectors away from the origin. So we have four vectors there. Of course, the vector in the first quadrant is the farthest one. That one makes we relate that to the non-computation. So that's one quantity I need. That sometimes may come out to be bound. So give a rectangle how far from four vectors away from that, and take the farthest one, and that distance from origin to the is a one quantity. Another quantity is how far the intercepts, you can intercept the A2, B2 away from the center. We got another quantity to be measured. So back to the case for that. If I know the spectrum of that, what can be a bound for that? So A1, A2 is the Hermitian part. B1, B2 is the skew Hermitian part. Once I know that, so there are two cases. One case is that even A1, B2 plus B2, A2 is larger than zero. This happens if I join the intercept, the center of the vector is above the line. In this case, the other case, A1, B2 plus A2, B1, smaller than zero. That's another case, the center of it is below the intercept. So we got two estimates based on the two quantities. One quantity is take the intercept, this one, the other one take the joint line, this bigger. So we come to two cases as the bound there. So this shows some kind of work in computation, but I still look for more general extra result, try to generalize to more general cases. So let's look at the other person. Concern two unitary matrix. How far two unitary matrix away from each other? Not more than two. Then we want exact estimate, if I know the estimate of it. So one theorem with Chi Guan Li is that if the spectra of two unitary U and V can be separated by a line, I know I can separate by line, then what is the bound for that? The bound of U plus V is not more than the distance between eigenvalue, not more than the same as commutative case. It can separate the spectrum by a straight line. So both are subset of the circle. Whenever you can separate that, then the bound is not more than the commutative case. The difference u plus v is not more than the maximum as you add up the eigenvalue. Okay, so that is best bound. But it is the result true for general non-commuting unitary, as long as you can separate the spectrum. Now what happens if the spectrum cannot be separated? There happen many cases. Then the answer is 2. Otherwise, it's 2. 2 is the best bound that you can always, once you know the spectrum, you can always find a pair of UV. The sum of them exactly 2. Okay, so this shows that the bound of that is not so sophisticated anyway. Okay, in general, you expect very complicated computation, even you know their eigenvalue. But here, to go get the best bound. Either it's 2, or like the commutative case, only if the spectrum can be separated. So from very simple computation, this shows that we have very soft computation instead of come to hard computation at all for the distance between two unitary matrix. So you replace u by minus v, that then becomes the one of the qualities that if you've got two unitaries, how far away from each other? The one thing is that it's not larger than the eigenvalue distance. If the eigenvalue distance is not more than square root 2, any two-point distance not more than square root 2 between the eigenvalue u and v, then the bound is not more than like the commutative case. But you get something bigger than that, you will get a fast 2. On the other hand, for any real number larger than square root 2, there exist two unitary matrix. The non-difference 2, but the eigenvalue difference not more than given R. So this shows some kind of thing that the computation is not too bad for unitary, okay? This also, but people is well known, is that if they're very near each other, they're continuous. But then if not something jumping there, the bound are sharp. Anyway, yeah. So let me omit the proof since I take too much time for the computing. So let me go on the other part. Now, all those kind of things, that's about computing. But do so that rectangle and circle are very good because we know them perfectly. So we accept more general theorem. True for more general theorem. Only thing for general normal operator, the geometry could be too complicated that you don't get good result as a unitary and or as A plus IB. They are so good as a rectangle. Others, you may come to more complicated thing. But we do come something as a multiple operator, the joint special circle. Before that, I should start with one circle. Here's my old version. Okay, I don't have the PowerPoint presentation. The one did not work. Yeah, okay. So everything that, so every operator A is associated with the canonical circle. I must have something more there. Yeah, okay. So let me define the circle. I use the gamma mu r, the center of mu, radius r. Okay, every operator is associated with canonical circle. How do I do it? There's a unique pair. I look at all possible scalars. There's the one with smallest norm. A minus mu 0 is smallest among all mu. But that's if you my mu 0. And that gives you R. So about A is associated with circle. Now that's a simple thing about it's a special set for that one. Now you can once you get that, you can do power dilation or Feynman type inequality and so on for single operator. Okay? So usual congestion, you can take the circle. If the congestion, you can take the circle around it, but that may not be the best. You can do better than Feynman inequality. You choose a smaller circle. But this for any operator, I can do it like that. So we come to that's for single operator. Okay, so once that we can extend it to further more. So what I see is a single version is that if given A as operator, I can find the mu and the radius there. So you come to circle related to that one. Then this wrong version, that A minus U star AU, you permute A by unitary. We ask how big the unitary orbit of A is. Okay, A minus U star AU. The orbit here is not more than two times the radius, first of all.
You said U star AU.
There was some mistake here. Okay, so that's old version. New version won't work. Okay, so basically that, yeah. So every A is related to a circle. You see that R here, okay? In that case, A minus U psi AU. Not B. Yeah, we don't have B at all. Okay, for two variable version, I will come immediately for two variable version. For one variable version, even it's not trivial in this way that you go over the orbit of it, how big the orbit is, A minus U psi AU. The result is that it's not more than two times the radius R. Okay, so I said that everyone is associated with the circle somewhere, and the R is the value there. This value gives you the bound for the orbit there. So this will all explain for unitaries. How big is the unitary orbit, a single unitary? It depends on whether you need a full circle to cover it, or you take smaller circle or radius to enclose the radius. So if given a unitary operator, if your spectrum is somewhere here, you can take a smaller circle to around it. Okay? Then the unit will be smaller. If you cannot do it, we better the unit circle. Then is the unitary orbit must of length 2. Okay, let me show that something for this kind of thing. And furthermore, we come to the functional calculus with two polynomials U and G, how they related to each other, you can find the bound for this kind of thing. Now that's one variable case. So next we come to two variable case. Two variable case are given given two operators AB, there exists some number mu zero smaller than your computation for other kind of mu, or you always exist, of course. Okay, the set is a compact set in a way. However, one result is that a such set the mu zero is a compact common set. Actually, compact is a very simple set. It's a singleton or a line segment. You always get something like that. So we can find some points, those kind of things. So I can get sort of the result become as the joint spectral circle. Each one has a spectral circle. With two operators, I got the joint spectral circle. With two circles are there, with the same center. So given any two pair operator, I got mu zero and two radius. One's R1, one was R2. Okay, the thing is that once you get that, you may ask that how fast A from B? You let B change by unitary equivalence, then the answer will come to R1 plus R2. Same as special case if that B equal to A. So this along the line we come to a result as the theorem that given two operator AB, I don't have PowerPoint right now, AB in B of H, then you find there exists a mu zero such that A minus mu zero plus B minus mu zero norm is smaller than any other complex number. That always exists, of course. Okay, then you set the distance between R1 and R2 away AB from the center there. And then we got functional calculus as a non-commuting version. AB need not be commuting. So any functional applied to A or anything applied to B allow unitary equivalent changes, any kind of unitary, we still get some kind of bond there. Of course, main thing I choose the mu zero. Yeah. This kind of result, of course, looks very abstract. Given AB, even no involvement of AB, just exists a mu zero, then you cannot estimate it well. But for special case, you know more about operator, then you can compute more mu zero, then give more information. So as the example I mentioned in the beginning, sort of the application is something like that. In case AB are normal operators, the evaluation will much relate the geometrical position or spectrum of A and B, if both are normal operators. But still, geometry of AB could be sophisticated for general normal operator. Okay, it will be very set there. For the very special case, if T equals A1 plus IA2, just any operator, now I come as a pair A1 and A2. Now we can estimate the norm of T by means of the joint optimal special circle of the non-commuting pair A1 and IA2. So all the things boiled down is that I know the eigenvalue of A1 here. I know the eigenvalue of IA2 here. Now I can use my, if I know the eigenvalue of A1 here, I know the eigenvalue of IA2 here. Now I can use the moving right center and get the best estimate of the norm. Yeah, so that's all I want to mention here.